Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
In 2006, as a soldier in World War II, Doss wanted to serve his country, but he did not want to carry a weapon or to kill the enemy. He did not feel that was right. However, he didn't see himself as a conscientious objector. He saw himself as a conscientious cooperator. He wanted to be a medical corpsman, and he wanted to save lives instead of take lives. Now, not only did he not want to not kill anyone, he did not want to touch a weapon. He did not want to carry a gun. And as a result, many of his fellow soldiers saw him as a liability, not as an asset. Nobody believed that a soldier without a weapon was worthwhile. So they tried to intimidate him, scold him, assign him extra tough duties, and declare him mentally unfit for the Army. Then they attempted to court-martial him for disobeying a direct order to carry a gun. But they failed to find a way to toss him out, and he refused to leave. Doss did become a medic. He was sent to Leyte and then Guam, where he earned 2 Bronze Stars for his bravery in treating fallen comrades and carrying them back to safety. In May 1945, the Japanese Army was fiercely defending the island of Okinawa, which was the last remaining barrier keeping the Allied forces from invading Japan. The scene that you saw from the movie is regarding the capture of a rocky cliff known as Hacksaw Ridge, but the Japanese soldiers suddenly attacked, and the U.S. Army had to retreat. As a result, there were hundreds of men, dozens of men, laying stranded, perishing on top of this rocky cliff, but Desmond stayed when everyone else left. And one by one, he began to lower them down. And his prayer that you heard on the movie, "Lord, give me one more, just give me one more," was answered 75 times as he rescued and saved the lives of 75 men. He did this single-handedly and as a result was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor by President Harry Truman, an award that was given to only 430 of the 16 million soldiers who served during World War II. This Memorial Day weekend, as we talk about building a memorable life, before we move on, I first want to say thank you to all of those who have served or are serving in the armed forces. Could we go ahead and I would like you to stand if you have served or you are currently serving. Go ahead and stand. Let's give them a hand. Someone not standing who couldn't stand is Wendell Culbertson, but many of you, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. On behalf of a grateful nation, we would not have our freedoms if it wasn't for your sacrifice, for your willingness. And maybe some of you, you have a loved one, a brother, a father, someone who gave their life so that we could be here today. And we just want to say thank you for what you have done. Desmond Doss was remembered over 70 years after his act. I think you could easily say he did live a memorable life, saving 75 men single-handedly. And this morning, I want to talk about living a life of significance, living a life of meaning, a life that is memorable, that people would look back and say, wow, look at what that person has done. And I want to talk about it from the context of us as being Christians and not just people remembering us, but living a memorable life in a way that God remembers us. And we're going to take a look in Joshua chapter 3 and chapter 4 this morning as we look at 4 keys to living a life of significance. 4 keys to living a memorable life a life that is remembered, not just by people, but remembered by God, as this instance was recorded in Scripture. The setting of Joshua chapter 3 and 4 is that Israel is getting ready to cross the Jordan River just before they enter the Promised Land. They had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. God delivers them out of slavery. Says, I've given you a land, a Promised Land, the land that Abraham was in before he came to Egypt, before Jacob came to Egypt when there was famine. And as a result, they're free, and God wants his people to enter the Promised Land, but it doesn't take place. They disobey God. You fast forward now 40 years, and that whole generation, the parents and grandparents of these now adults, have perished. They've passed away, and this new generation is getting ready to go into the Promised Land. If you're taking notes this morning, and you can have the notes either in the back of the bulletin, or you can also take a look on YouVersion. If you've got a smartphone, you can go to YouVersion and just look for events near me. Our notes are on there, and you can take notes on your phone. That way you've always have them. But the very first key, if you want to live a memorable life, is to go on the offensive. Go on the offensive. When you take a look at this story, 40 years earlier, the children of Israel lived life on the defensive. God said, go in, take the land. And they saw it was a land that was filled with a lot of fruit, very productive. It was very prosperous. However, there were giants in the land. There were strong armies in the land. And forget the fact that God delivered them from one of the most powerful armies on the face of the planet, the Egyptian army. They said no. Instead of going on the offensive and saying, yes, God, we're going to go in and take the land, they were living life reactively, according to fear, according to anxiety, and they refused to go in. And as a result, that generation was forgotten, and they did not enter the Promised Land. This generation, however, they did go on the offensive. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 1. Joshua arose early in the morning. They set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and he lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days, the officers went through the camp. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. And that's what Israel did. They went after it. They went on the offensive. They took initiative. They lived their life with a mission. They did not stay on the banks of safety, but they crossed over. And friends, the thing that applies to us today is that God wants you and I to go on the offensive. God has a mission for every person who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's really not just a mission, it is a commission, the Great Commission, when Christ said, go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations. God is calling you and me, the body of Christ, to make an impact in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our schools, in our workplaces. That is the reason we are still here on this planet. As followers of Christ, we need to make Desmond Doss's prayer our prayer. Every morning we get up and say, Lord, give me one more. Give me just one more soul. Help me to bring one more person to you. Help me to bring them closer to you. Help me to lead them to salvation. Help me to help them to see your love, your forgiveness, your care, your kindness, your goodness. That needs to be our prayer. Lord, give us one more. Go on the offensive. So many times when we pray, our prayers are not mission-centered, they're need-centered. And there's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to bring our needs to him. God, heal me. God, give me guidance. God, give me give me provision. God, help me with this problem. God, help me with that. Help me with this person, this difficult person I'm dealing with. And we're saying, God, these are my needs. help me with my needs. But God doesn't want us just to focus on our needs. He wants us to focus on His needs, on His kingdom, on His love for the world, that He wants not a single person to perish. That's why He sent Jesus. God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, and we have a mission. And so our prayers and our life needs to be proactive, where we take the fight to the devil, where we're salt, we're bringing people out of darkness into light, and that we're working on the mission of God. If you want to live a memorable life, you and I need to go on the offensive. We need to take initiative and approach each day and say, okay, God, through this day, help me to be sensitive to Your Holy Spirit. Help me to see open doors. Help me to know what to say. Help me know how to respond to situations. And we walk through that day being open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It is so easy to get caught up in busyness, in our schedules, or our own problems, and we live a life that is consumed with us instead of a life that's consumed with God and His concern for others. God will take care of us. You can trust Him, and I know there's times we go through brokenness and it's hurting, and it's hard to look out to others, but friends, God wants us, His body, to trust that the head will take care of the body, and the body can do the work that the head wants to do, and that is impact people for Christ. That they're saved, that they're healed, that they're delivered, that they're made whole, that families and marriages are restored, that addictions are broken. God desires you and I to be proactive. Don't sit on the fence. Don't stay on the bench. Get off the bench, get into the game, and approach life with an offensive attitude. That is the first key to living a memorable life. That's what the children of Israel did. We are going into the land. We are going on the offensive, not being defensive. That's the first key to significance. The second key this morning is to put the presence of God first. Put the presence of God first. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 6, it says, Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, "Take the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Israel is getting ready to cross the Jordan, just as 40 years earlier they were getting ready to go on, as they crossed over the Red Sea. And that God says, this is something I want you to do before you send in Joshua and the leaders, before you send in the soldiers, before you send in the engineers to build the dam, to dam up the River Jordan so that 3 million people can walk across, before you do any of that, I want you to have the priests walk in first, and I want them to carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was where the presence of God physically dwelt. Now, we know that God is everywhere, all places, at all times, but there was something special about the Ark, about the presence of God, and God says, you're getting ready to go into the Promised Land. The first thing you do is take the Ark, the presence of God, into the river. And as they stepped into the river, the sea was parted. And we need to be people that put the presence of God first place in our lives. We cannot fulfill this mission and be offensive if we're doing it in our own power, our own ability, our own creativity, our own planning. We need to be people of the presence of God. If you have not learned how to develop a personal time with Jesus in the Word and through prayer, that is a key piece if you want to live a life of significance, because the presence of God makes you more like Jesus. As you spend time with someone, how many have found you become like them? Right? The more you're with someone, you become like them. You take on, if you don't think that's true, let me just throw out a question to all the husbands and wives here, okay? How many of you would say you like things now that your spouse likes that you never used to like? Raise your hand. Wow, look at all those hands, okay? You become like who you hang out with. When I was growing up, I never went to Mexican restaurants. I do not like Mexican restaurants. Still don't care for them. But my wife loves Mexican food. And as a result, how many know, I go to Mexican restaurants now. Many times I get a hamburger, you know, but hey, I go to Mexican restaurants. You become like who you hang around. And that's why it is so vital for us to be people of the presence. Because as we hang out with Jesus, we're going to become like Jesus. And as we become like Jesus, then as we step out, as we go out into our day and in the offensive, into our classroom, into the oil field, into our workplace, wherever it might be, if we are becoming like Jesus, people are going to see Jesus in us. We're going to love like Jesus loved. We're going to be patient and kind like Jesus was patient and kind. We're going to be forgiving instead of, forget you, buddy. Cut me off. See what you think. I mean, we're going to respond the way Jesus responds. We're going to influence the way Jesus influenced. We're going to treat people the way Jesus treats people. That is why it's so important for you and I to spend time in the presence of God. What is our theme for 2019? Help me. Preach it. What's the theme? Seek the King, see the kingdom. We want to seek the King, Jesus Christ, spend time in his presence, and as we do, we see the kingdom of God come to earth. We see lives transformed. D.L. Moody once said that out of 100 men, one will read the Bible, the other 99 will read the Christian. That's why it's so important for you and I, because most people, they're not going to church, they're not reading the Bible, they're not praying. You're the only Jesus they'll ever see. And that's why the presence of God, putting that first in our lives, becoming people of his presence is so vitally important. What happened when the ark, when the presence of God entered the river? Take a look at verse 13 and 15 of chapter 3. As soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord, how quickly? As soon, immediately, the Lord of all the earth set in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand in a heap. Verse 15, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Friends, this was the harvest time. The river was flooding, okay? Sometimes we think, well, they crossed the Jordan River, big deal. You know, and maybe we think of it kind of like the Platte River. You know, by my place where I live by Morad Park, the Platte River is only like 2 feet deep. You know, I can cross the river. That's no big deal. Friends, this river was in flood stage. It was swift. It was moving. It was deep. And God stopped the waters. As soon as the feet of the priests, of the presence of God, hit the flood, the flood was stopped. And I believe this is the message God is trying to say to us today. Friends, the enemy comes in like a flood, but when the presence of God comes in, boom, it creates a wall. It dams up the flood of the enemy. The flood of sin is stopped. The flood of brokenness is stopped. The flood of violence and anger is stopped. The flood of fear and anxiety is stopped. Whatever the enemy is doing, whatever the flood of the enemy is doing in people's lives, the presence of God makes the difference. The flood is stopped by the presence. But for the kingdom of God to be present, the King needs to be present. And he's present through his body, you and me. And that's why we need to put the presence of God first in our lives. People of prayer, people of the Word, we're just not rushing through life, but we are strong warriors filled with the presence of God. So what's the first key to living a memorable life? Help me out here. What do? Go on the offensive. Number two, put the presence of God first. Number three this morning, we need to step out in faithful obedience. We need to step out in faithful obedience. Take a look at verse 8 and verse 17 of chapter 3, Joshua. You shall command the priests who bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the River Jordan. Friends, it was dry ground. It wasn't mucky ground. Sometimes when a river is receding and it's drying up, you can still walk where there's no water. You walk in the sand, but it's mucky. Friends, this was completely dry ground. Theologians believe there were at least 3 million Israelites who crossed the Jordan River that day. 3 million on dry ground. And it's interesting, it says the waters were heaped up, and it names to some cities. They believe these cities were 10 to 15 miles away. The water was building up and forming, like it was several stories high. Can you imagine walking through a flooding river, and as you're walking through, you've got this wall of water next to you, and it's several stories high like a skyscraper, and you can see the fish swimming in there. It's like you're at an aquarium at the zoo, but there's no glass holding the water up. You know, if you, hey, boom, there's a bass. Boom, I got me lunch, you know. I mean, this is, how many would say this, that's a memorable act? That's memorable, friends. You want to live a memorable life? You want God to move supernaturally? You want to see him do some powerful things? These are the keys to living a memorable life. And they were willing to step out faithfully. God said, go. They walked across and said, God, do a miracle. Last weekend at our men's conference, Jamie Montera shared this story about a 14-year-old girl who was at a church service. She was actually a witch, all dressed in black. And at the close of the service, the pastor asked everyone, all the Christians, he said, go to someone and ask a person to come down front for salvation. Even if you're saved, go ask someone. And a little girl in the crowd went to this witch and asked her to come down front to receive Christ. And the witch did. And when they asked the witch, why did you come down? And she says, because someone asked me. And they says, okay, well, why did you come to church? She said, someone invited me. She came because of an invitation. Someone felt a prompting of the Holy Spirit, invite them, ask them to come down front. They obeyed, and God stopped the flood of the occult and sin and witchcraft in that young lady's life. We need to step out obediently and listen to the voice of God, going on the offensive, being people of the presence of God to see God move in a powerful way. Friends, I want to encourage you, invite people. You say, well, I can't stand on a street corner, I can't preach the gospel, or I can't share the Romans Road or the plan of salvation with someone. You can invite them to church. In fact, in your bulletin this morning, you have the Father's Day Bash ticket. It's an invitation. Give it to someone this week. Say, hey, you doing anything for Father's Day? Oh, I don't know. Hey, how would you like to have a free cookout? Our church is doing a free cookout, free burgers and brats and dogs. Going to be an axe-throwing contest, door prizes. It's going to be a lot of fun. Invite someone to church that day. Invite someone to church for the Nerf War Ninja Course. Someone who has kids, invite them to that. Invite them just to come on a Sunday morning. It doesn't have to be something special. Begin to invite. Begin to go on the offensive. When the Holy Spirit prompts you and says, I want you to pray for that person who's sick. I want you to invite that person to church. I want you to share with them about how God healed you or God helped you through a situation. When God prompts you to do something, step out in obedience. That small step could be life-changing for the person on the other end. Step out in faithful obedience. Lastly this morning, if we want to live memorable lives, the last step is found in Joshua chapter 4, and it is to declare the victories to the next generation. Declare the victories to the next generation. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, it says, it came to pass When all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua and says, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Now, what was the reason for them to take these stones out? Was he just trying to give these 12 guys a workout because they'd been sitting around for 3 days and they needed a little bit of exercise? No. Take a look at verse 6. Do this that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? This heap of stones, these 12 huge rocks that are sitting here, what's the meaning of these 12 stones? Verse 7, you shall answer that in the waters of the Jordan, they were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. God says, don't forget. And friends, human nature is we tend to forget. When life begins to press in, I know this from my own experience, when life presses in with its problems, with its fears, with its anxieties, with its difficulties, with the conflicts from other people, we get compressed and we get tunnel vision and we focus on what's ahead of us and we forget all of the great things God has done for us in the past. We forget His faithfulness. We forget the times He's answered prayer. We forget the miracles that He's done. When we didn't have any food in our cupboards and it supernaturally showed up in the cupboards even though the house was locked. Or as there was a knock at the door and there was food there. Or somehow your car got more mileage than it should have. When you forget, it's so easy to forget when problems come. And God said, I don't want my people to forget, because God knew there were still giants in the land that needed conquering. And He wanted His people to remember not just something that happened for their parents and their grandparents 40 years ago when He set them free from Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea. No, this is what God has done for you, and you need to declare it to your kids. You need to tell your kids the wonderful works of God. That's why Rebecca and I, we share stories with our kids about the faithfulness of God. Two of her pregnancies, she had difficulty in. We almost lost our son. He was born almost a month early. Our youngest was placenta previa. Almost lost my wife and my youngest. When it's their birthday, we sit down, and at the dinner table, we talk about the faithfulness of God and how God has a plan for you. When it's my kid's spiritual birthday, I will text him and say, hey, it was so many years ago today you asked Jesus into your life. I remember, and I'll just share the story about how it happened. The anniversary of when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I contact him, I text him, hey, we were at this revival service. You went forward to God to heal you of your allergies, but instead you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God's got a purpose for you. I remind my kids of the activity of God in their life. I remind them of the activity of God for us. When God has guided us, when we didn't know what to do, when God provided, when God protected, we need to declare the victories God has done for us and our kids to the next generation. Those kids, they walked through the Jordan River. I'm sure they, Mommy, look at that big fishy. And God wanted them to remind them, you remember that time you saw that big fishy and you were 6 years old? This is what God did. He opened the river up. Share the victories, the answers to prayer, the big and the little, with your kids. That's why in Deuteronomy it says, when you lie down in the morning, or lie down at night, when you get up in the morning, when you sit down to eat, when you walk along the road, talk about the laws of God, the commandments of God, the activity of God in your family's life. How do you live a memorable life? Go on the offensive. God's given you a mission to accomplish. Be a person of His presence. Prioritize the presence in your life. Step out in obedience. Be faithful to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and declare the victories, the answers to prayer, the activity of God to the next generation. When you do that, you're going to see the flood stopped. You're going to see miracles take place. You're going to see the supernatural hand of God working in your situation, in your lives.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.